I was 65 when I first was diagnosed with glaucoma.
There were no symptoms. I had no headaches.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
You lose mobility, independence, changes your entire life.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
My husband tells me that I have beautiful brown eyes, and I don't want to lose that.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
1450 WOL Washington, D.C. WDCJ Washington 95.9. WMMJ HD2. WKYS HD2. And worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
The topics, views, and opinions expressed on the air and via All Igniting Change with Barbara Onwine, platforms by host Barbara Onwine Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine. Get up,
stand up. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Igniting Change. Oh, we got a great show for you today because what? We're 3 weeks away from Election Day. 3 weeks away. Are you ready? Are you ready? We're going to talk about the outreach that's going on to voters, what you need to know, how you can help make sure that everybody you know and love and you work with is able to vote. The name of this episode is I'll Rise and Vote, Episode 4, The Criticality of Voter Outreach. And we're going to also talk about the racist and sexist crisis of the New Jersey State Troopers. Yes, folks, again. So we have a lot to cover. And you know that I am blessed to work with one of the most amazing attorneys in the United States. He is my co-leader at the Transformative Justice Coalition, one of our nation's most brilliant attorneys. He doesn't stand aside for anything. He's always there to fight for our rights. Oh, we are talking about none other than the mighty, bold, innovative, creative leader of co-leader of the Transformative Justice Coalition, and that is one Daryl Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time because we're talking about igniting change across America. Ooh. My goodness, Barbara, this is the time of season that, you know, Transformative Justice Coalition is ripe all year long, but this election season, this is when it's as ripe as it can be. Let me tell you, you know, I know that you just got off a show, and I'm just getting off shows, and we're pushing people to check their voting status, get voter ready. And that's what we're talking about today, Barbara, is what's going on across the country to get people voter ready. And Barbara, as you've indicated, we're indicating what happens when people get into office and they appoint superintendents of state police that are not responsive to the needs of the voters. Woo-hoo. And responsive to the needs of some of the members of the community. So what a great show we have lined up for the listeners today, Barbara.
Absolutely. And we are blessed to have a very special guest. This is his inaugural maiden voyage on Igniting Change. We are so extremely honored to have him on the show. But before I introduce him, I want to say one word to all those hurricane victims of Helene and of Milton. I want you to remember one thing right now. Never forget, and everybody who's listening who has family, friends, and colleagues who are in the path of those hurricanes, I want you to say this to them. Don't forget, you have the right to vote. It doesn't matter if your home has been destroyed. Doesn't matter if your board of elections has been closed. You have the right to vote. So don't sit back and think that among all the things you're dealing with, that one is your vote. You have the right to vote. If you need more assistance, call 866 our vote hotline to get advice, to make sure you know how to vote, where to vote, and there's been some special arrangements made. And if you're in North Carolina, you want to call 888 our vote hotline. Okay, with that said, let me introduce our first amazing guest. We are so blessed to have Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr. To join us. He is one of our nation's, you know, leading thought leaders when it comes to voting rights. He's written books. He's, he has been out there advocating when he was in Congress for, you know, broadening our rights to vote. He has been such an incredible leader, and you can find his information, online. But he is the former congressperson for the state of Illinois, and he is currently helping the Rainbow Push Coalition to have a mighty drive across several states to make sure that voters are voting. Welcome to Igniting Change, Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr.
Thank you very much, Barbara and Daryl. It's an honor to be on Igniting for Change for the first time, and it really is a privilege. I am really, really grateful for the invitation.
Ah, well, well, it was so good to see you just not too long ago doing October 3rd, the first day of early voting, where there was that incredible votercade led by the Rainbow Push Coalition with the help of several other organizations, and it resulted in all kinds of people voting early and getting their vote on. It was beautiful. But tell people, you know, what has been this campaign that you've been helping to lead for voters in throughout the United States? Tell people about what you've been organizing with your father to make sure that everybody knows about the rights to vote.
So I appreciate that very much. We've been so far in Wisconsin. We've crisscrossed the state. We've been to Michigan, from Detroit to Flint to Ypsilanti to Eastern Michigan University. I'm driving 5.5 hours today to Columbus, Ohio, to spend the day in the state with Reverend Al Sharpton and Reverend Jackson. Tomorrow morning, get up very, very early for that venture, then on to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and to Gettysburg, hopefully to reset the campaign at this most critical hour in the history of our democracy. I can't begin to tell voters, as I've learned on the road, just how crucial their vote is. When I speak to students at colleges at Eastern Michigan University and Ypsilanti and at Gettysburg College this next week, they are perfectly positioned in the most important states in the Union to have a profound impact on the outcome and the direction of our country. And when we look at the history of our people, Barbara and Daryl, from 1619 to the present, from the founding of the Democratic Party in 1793, the party of Thomas Jefferson, that became the party in 1828 of Andrew Jackson, that became over time the party of Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. When we look at the party of Abraham Lincoln in 1854, the first evidence of a Republican Party, and by 1860, Abraham Lincoln was the Republican nominee, and from that Republican Party to its transition to the party of Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and now Donald Trump. The Negro has always been here. Black people have always been here. We've watched how white Americans have organized themselves along the great divide that African-American history is central to the division that is responsible for the current destiny of the republic. And so an African-American woman is on the ticket. And I've been talking to young African-American men to let them know they are not a coconut that just dropped out of a tree. They are tied to the root of a struggle. And that struggle includes the founding of the parties. That struggle includes where liberalism came from and conservatism came from. That struggle includes Plessy versus Ferguson. It includes, before that, Dred Scott and the Tilden Hayes Compromise. That struggle includes the period of Jim Crow between 1896 and 1954 with the changing of the tide of the universe, Brown versus the Board of Education, which laid the foundation for, yes, Roe v. Wade. And now we see this movement towards states' rights, this return to Robert E. Lee, to Stonewall Jackson, this return to the Confederacy, where we will address some of these issues in Gettysburg, as we seek, along with Abraham Lincoln, finish the unfinished business of our great republic, to expand the republic, to expand the definition of what it means to be an American. And that's what we're doing out here on this campaign trail.
Wow. And I know, Daryl, that you want to ask a question before I get in there again. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, Congressman, you know, welcome again to this, your maiden voyage. And I know it will not be your last time here with us. Igniting Change is always great to see you and for us to catch up. You know, one of the big things that's now being talked about is the address that former President Obama gave and the charge he gave to black men. And whether or not he's speaking down to them in response to all of the chatter that has gone on. Do you have a response for you know, those that are raising those issues?
You know, there's a part of me that wants to respond, and I probably will respond to it here on this radio show, but then I'm done with it because we need to get back to the message of the campaign. I wish the former president was not lecturing to black men. In fact, in 2008, my father got caught in an off-comment moment about Barack Obama speaking down to black people, and you understand the consequences of that. The real challenge where Barack could be extraordinarily helpful, and I'm not apologetic about it. Remember, Barack Obama was very instrumental with George Clooney in trying to get Joe Biden to step aside. He approved the letter that George Clooney wrote. And so immediately after Joe Biden stepped aside, obviously the spot opened up for Kamala Harris, but Barack Obama called for an open convention, which means we would have known who the Democratic nominee was or is just 8 weeks ago. Imagine all of the momentum, the lack of organization that we would have right now had we had an open convention in Chicago, a big catastrophe, had we followed that vision. And now the president is obviously on board, and I salute him for that. But I would think that what would be most helpful is if he explains to us his journey from how he wasn't a believer at first to how he came to be a believer. Because these brothers out here in the streets that I'm talking to are not believers. Mm-hmm. And they need to understand the journey that, for example, President Obama and other high-profile African-American men took to get from skepticism, can she win, to get from can a woman be president of the United States with all that's at stake in saving our democracy. I'd love to hear more of a town hall meeting with black men. And some of our brothers out here, I'm finding out, Barbara and Daryl, in the streets, you know, because Donald Check put his name on a government check and mailed it out during the COVID, they think that's some kind of reparation. Man, that money belongs to us. And he should have never been allowed to put his name on that check in the first place.
Right.
And so there is no second check coming from Donald Trump if he becomes president of the United States. But I can tell you what's at stake with these two lawyers on the phone. We are either going to be voting on November 5th to extend second Reconstruction another 4 or 8 years with Kamala Harris, or we are going to, with Project 2025, usher in unwittingly and maybe even as useful idiots, we may usher in a second Jim Crow. And there is no one in this generation of millennials, Gen Xers, Gen Zers, who have any knowledge of what it means to live in some form of Jim Crow. And that is my biggest worry, Daryl, at this hour.
Yes. And that is so well stated, because people don't understand what it means for fascism. When this man is running around, I mean, I'm just telling people what's happening, right? I'm not telling you who to vote for, but you got to make that decision yourself. But when somebody's running around saying that they want to call the military on the enemy within, and then talking about far left people as the enemy, there's something wrong, folks. That's not an American tradition. That's fascism. And we need to understand that.
So, Barbara, for me, what I've learned on the road with these young men has been that they seem to be disconnected, Daryl, from the history. I mean, they're not a coconut that fell out of a tree. You have to be tied.